Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Wilmington Business Radio, where Cape Fear's most interesting executives come to tell their stories. I'm your host, Anne Ravel Petcher, and as this is our first ever episode, we're benefiting from the wisdom of my guest co-host today from Atlanta's Business Radio X, Stone Payton. Say hey, Stone.
Good morning, sunshine, and hey, Stone.
Hey, Stone. Well, we have a jam-packed studio today, and so we have two companies that are real anxious to get the word out about their businesses. And in a few minutes, I'm going to chat with Phil Clark and Julie Lancaster of OmniStar Financial. But first, Stone's over there itching in the corner, trying to introduce Tom Petcher of Synergy Home Care.
Yeah, so first up on Wilmington Business Radio this morning, we have Tom Petcher with Synergy Home Care of Wilmington. Welcome to the show, man.
Good morning, Stone. Thanks.
So we are delighted to have you right out of the box. How about giving us a feel? Maybe it would be helpful to define what exactly is non-medical home care, because that's a very distinct service, isn't it?
It is indeed. Non-medical home care refers to the way I like to talk about it is that basically we try to keep people as independent as possible for as long as possible when they need help with activities of daily living. Typically, this is with seniors who are growing older, but really, really want to stay in their home. They don't want to have to necessarily go to an assisted living facility, but they just need help. They need help around the house. They may need help with personal care, help with bathing, shampooing, sometimes with incontinence care. But we also do things as sort of mundane but necessary as nutritious meal preparation, light housekeeping, transportation to the doctor's office or to the drugstore, to the library for a book group or whatever. What we're there to do is to keep our clients as independent as possible in their homes for as long as possible. We don't do home health. That is, we don't do any kind of wound care or medication dosing, but we can do medication reminders, for example. So it's regulated by the state of North Carolina as basically a way to keep people independent.
So what compelled you to enter this arena? Have you always been in the healthcare arena in some way, or did you make a completely different leap?
No, I made a really big leap when we decided we're going to do our final move to southeastern North Carolina. Wilmington just kind of showed up on the radar screen pretty quickly after a lot of searching around. And I had been a nonprofit executive my entire career. But as a nonprofit executive, everything I did was basically mission-based. It was helping the community, helping people in some way, shape, or form. So I decided when I wanted to have one last shot at a business of my own, which I had not done before, it had to have something to do with helping people. And this is a very, very growing field. I think 10 years ago, you wouldn't have known what I meant when I said home care. Most people didn't even know that field existed. Now
Right. It's
bursting out of the seams.
So walk us through, if you would, the process, because I'm getting the idea that it's probably not typically the senior who is getting the care, who is making the call or wanting to know more about your services, right? It's me, 50 years old, parents beginning to age, maybe, or we need to start looking at it. Walk us through that process. You guys come out, we're going to sit down and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
You're right. Very often the senior himself or herself is somewhat resistant to the idea, because most of us, as you get older and older, you're going to realize that you really do think you can do everything for as long as possible. And the fact of the matter is that certain parts of our bodies give out sooner or later. So it's very often times that we'll get a call from a relative, either local who lives near the mom or dad, or maybe lives in Minneapolis, Denver, or whatever, and came home for Christmas perhaps and saw a real decline in mom or dad's condition. So they give us a call after doing a web search. They might type in home care in Wilmington, North Carolina, and Synergy Home Care will pop up, and they'll give us a call. And they're typically at that point searching around, shopping. And they'll give us a call, and they'll say, here's my situation. I've got my mom living in Wilmington, and I'm concerned. What we do at that point is really just try to sort of gently drill down on the telephone into exactly what the situation is that the senior's facing and that the family sees the senior facing. We'll ask about medical condition. We'll ask about mobility. We'll ask about personal care needs. We'll ask about any medical issues that the senior's facing. And very often, obviously, people in their 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s, are dealing with either several or a host of physical issues. So we want to find out what their doctors, who their doctors are, what kind, how often they see them, if they've been recently hospitalized, if they're just out of the hospital, and typically, what do you see in mom's situation that, that made you call us? And it, it basically makes them feel that they're dealing with a partner, the beginning of a partnership, as opposed to...
Well, and one that knows what they're doing, because this is not Tom and Betty Sue's home care. You made a conscious decision, and maybe partially driven by regulation or something, to go with an organization that has structure and rigor and discipline. So if I am calling from Montgomery, Alabama, to try to get something set up for mom in Wilmington, there's some real... what's the right word? Methodology or
one of the first things we let people know is that home care in North Carolina is a licensed field. Basically, we have to go through a fairly rigorous process of review by the state of North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, and they basically say yay or nay on a license. Not only that, but our caregivers are they undergo national background checks. They're certified in first aid and CPR. To continue the process that I mentioned before, we send a nurse out, complimentary home assessment visit. Essentially, our RN, who's a staff member, goes out and sits down with the family member and the client and decides what needs to be done, what the clinical needs are, what the ADL assistance may be, and then writes up a very detailed plan of care, which is all about clinical needs as well as household needs, if you will. That plan of care then becomes what I call the roadmap for when the caregiver comes in. Caregiver uses that roadmap to say, okay, here are my tasks that I need to do on a daily basis with Mrs. Smith, because this is what the nurse has determined needs to be done as well.
So what's your favorite part about this work? What do you like the most, and maybe what do you find a little bit frustrating from time to time?
Personally, for me, it's really, really kind of fun and rewarding to be able to step in, especially when the family's out of town, and to step in and basically assure them from far, far away that their loved one is being handled well and in a supervisory fashion by an RN, that we're actually providing that independence that is so important both to the client, but then subsequently to the family member as well. We work with, obviously, with any families, whether they're here or somewhere else. We love it when they're here because it means it's one more person you can kind of turn to if an issue arises. But in one case, for example, we had a 24/7 case, and the daughter lived in California. We became that client's family.
Excuse me, a 24/7 case, that means someone is with this
person constantly.
We provided
care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just one of any number of you can.
We can work as short as a 3-hour shift, as long as a 24/7 shift. Right now, the other way to do is a live-in situation. We've got a client now where we have two caregivers who are there 4 days, 3 days, spelling each other, but they live with the client for those 4 days and 3 days. So it's essentially 24/7 care, but it's a live-in situation. That's not right for everybody,
right?
But it can work for some people, and it provides that kind of continuum of care that's really, really important.
All right, so let's get a little bit of counsel. I'm actually not quite there yet. My my mom was 20 when she had me, so we're not quite there yet. Is that right?
That's correct, right.
You know, I don't even know what questions to ask. How do you go about, on what criteria would you hire or maybe eliminate a potential home care service?
First of all, knowing full well that when you call any time of the day, that the phone will be answered by a human being, hopefully a sentient human being who can actually answer questions.
Are you going to answer calls during the show?
Actually,
or do you have someone? You have an RN answer, right?
I have somebody at the office right now, so I'm not on call. But as my wife can attest, basically my phone's on all the time, and I'll pick up a call at 3 a.m. if necessary.
So you're 24/7.
And I'll call a caregiver at 3 a.m. saying, Maggie, so-and-so needs help right now. How soon can you be there? And in this particular case, Maggie, the caregiver, would always do whatever I asked to, because, you know, she was looking for as much work as possible, but she made herself available. And that can be hugely important to the family member who's calling from Minneapolis, or to the client who's here, maybe underwent a fall or slipped in the bathtub or whatever.
So what do you think? Is this the kind of economy that is going to continue to have more and more people that need this type of support?
Yeah. As I was saying in an earlier session, Wilmington really is the go-to destination in southeastern North Carolina for retirees. So the market here is really strong for our services. And as people get older and understand that this is an option, that's an alternative to either going to a skilled nursing facility or an assisted living facility, And it's one-on-one care. That's the big difference as well. There's one caregiver working with one client in home care, whereas if you're in a facility, there may be eight residents who rely on one CNA, certified nursing assistant, who they make up most of our caregivers. That CNA has to deal with eight different people. And so, you know, you're not getting the sort of personal attention you get at home. And very frequently, people don't need 24-hour care. They just don't. They need somebody to help them get started in the morning. They need maybe help some help in the midday to get lunch going or to make a nice nutritious dinner and get them prepared for bed. But people don't, most people don't need 24-hour care. So this offers that flexibility and, frankly, less expense as well. If to come in shifts and kind of help the person stay independent, stay at home when the help is needed, not when it's not needed.
So what are some of the initial signs that say, you know what, better start exploring something for mom? Are there a couple of things that start cropping up?
It's a great question, and right now...
I thought that was a fantastic question. That's the best question we've had.
Right now, as a perfect example, the holidays are here. We just went through Thanksgiving. Christmas is around the corner. We're in the middle of Hanukkah. Basically, folks are... children are visiting their parents or vice versa. And very often what happens is, you know, as you get older, the declines happen in phases, but sometimes they can be very, very dramatic, you know, whether it's leaning towards dementia or whether it's a mobility issue. Suddenly, the son or daughter comes to Wilmington to spend Thanksgiving with mom, dad, and says, oh, my goodness, what's happened? You know, the last time I was here 6 or 8 months ago, she was sparkly, bright, you know, running around the house, and now she's really slowed down. And maybe there are a couple of memory issues that they're surfacing as well. What you then do is say, okay, she doesn't want to come back to Minneapolis with us. She wants to stay here. I can't come here necessarily to take care of her. But how can we bridge the gap between dependence down the road, which hopefully is 10 years away, and what's needed right now. And so they start to explore what is out there. And they most people just do web searches these days, obviously. And they run across the fact that there's a whole world out there of non-medical home care, because there are no medical needs for mom or dad right now. Essentially, what the needs are is to keep mom or dad safe, number one, independent as well. And so they start to ask those questions. They do some research. And very quickly, you'll see from a very, very short website, a web search rather, there's a lot of people out there providing this service, and hopefully you want to find the right one. And the only way to find the right one is to have a long conversation on the telephone and hopefully in person at some point. So you look that person in the eye. There's a trust factor that builds up over time.
So there's the web search piece of it, but before we wrap your segment, I'd like to learn more about the sales and marketing side of what you do, because, I mean, you can't just rely on web search, right? You must work very closely with other professionals, everything from an elder care attorney
right.
to a hospital mm-hmm. type long-term care people. That must tell me about
there's
that.
There's what I call a retail side to this and a wholesale wholesale side to this. The retail side is what we just described.
Yeah.
It's the one individual, one family member calling about one mom, one dad, one loved one relative. I call that retail because they're personally shopping for the service. The wholesale side is when I knock on the doors of a hospital, a doctor's office, assisted living facility, an independent living facility, and create a relationship with those people where they get to know me, they get to know the business, they get to know that we are trustworthy, and they eventually, hopefully, begin referring clients. In the case of an elder care attorney, and I work with several in town, they'll run across a client who clearly is starting to decline a little bit.
Right.
The client has the ability to be able to pay for home care. So hopefully the elder care attorney will say, listen, you may need this kind of service, and I want to walk you in the right direction to find that person. Same thing with a hospital discharge nurse. Same thing with an assisted living facility or a hospice, for example. Hospice, as most people don't really understand, is not just end of life. It's like a whole continuum of care that people can go in and out of hospice. And so it's not what people used to think it is. It's really just sort of a care center, and they're dealing with people who need our help all the time. There's a whole range of different referral sources we work with on a regular basis.
So, Ann, we need to wrap this segment up here in just a moment, but I think it would make for a really good show if we had Tom come back, maybe with some of these other professional service providers that you're talking about. Maybe if you came back with an elder law attorney, talk about how you work together to serve seniors in a more complete way, or some of these other would you be up for that?
Absolutely. It really is. This is a burgeoning population, and
right.
We want to be able to speak to every need that it has in all ways. And I think that something like this, Business Radio X, here in Wilmington, is a great opportunity to be able to spread the word in a realistic and functional way.
We could, maybe do like a dedicated segment, have a panel discussion,
and I think
that would be a lot of fun. Okay, let's leave our listeners with coordinates. I want to make sure that the website, phone number, that kind of thing.
www.synergyhomecare.com is our national site, because we have about 150 offices around the country. www.synergyhomecare/Wilmington is our local site as well, and we're at 910-398-6410 on Facebook. You can reach us in a lot of different ways.
Well, it's been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning, and this offer is quite sincere, and I think there's some merit to this idea. Let's create a panel discussion.
Yeah, let's do that. Absolutely.
For senior care. Hey, how about hanging out with us a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
Sure. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it.
All right. Who we got now, Ms.
Well, hey, this is a great transition, because everybody who's out there right now slaving away is thinking about what they do with that money that they're making, right, while they're slaving away, and what do we do, and part of what we're thinking about in terms of how we save is saving for when we get older, and saving for when our, how to help our parents as they get older. And so we have some of the leading wealth management folks in Wilmington here with us today from OmniStar Financial. We want to welcome both Julie Lancaster and Phil Clark. Welcome, y'all.
Thank you,
Ann.
So I'm going to start with Phil.
Okay.
Because Phil founded OmniStar. Is that right?
That's right.
When was that, Phil?
Well, I started about 24 years ago. And I started in a partnership with some other folks, and our ways of doing business didn't agree after the first 10 years or so. And so about 12 years ago, I broke away from traditional side of doing business to a fee-based firm, which is OmniStar.
Wow, great. Well, I want to go into this fee-based concept in a minute, but first I'd like to have you give me an overview of the kinds of people that you work with and kinds of things that they ask you about in terms of their investments, if you will.
We work with a couple of different types, upwardly mobile on the individual side, business owners, and businesses. So we handle a lot of pension plans at the business level, a lot of business succession planning. That typically translates to individual planning, because the owners or owner of those companies needs planning and or money management. So it generally is a trickle-down effect that starts at the corporate level down to the individual.
Interesting. So how do you find these people? How do they find you?
About 90% of our business is referral-based.
Oh, good.
So we don't send our associates like Julie out knocking on doors.
I would answer
sometimes
Julie.
Sometimes you do.
sometimes. We ask her to find new business, but generally it comes from a relationship where someone has either worked with us or word of mouth, and that's typically how we get most of our business.
So how are you? There obviously are several people in town who handle people's wealth, and how are you different? What is it that you do that makes OmniStar a unique place?
Well, I can speak to that because I've been in the business for about 20 years, and I started on the bank side as a financial advisor. Our business is different in that one of the reasons that I came over to OmniStar Financial is that it's a holistic, it's a fee-based, and we have an attorney on site, we have a CPA on site, and it's with the typical brokerage firms or bank brokerage firms, you'll just be selling product. You'll be pushing kind of what the banks want you to sell,
sure,
or what your brokerage firm wants you to sell. With what we do is more planning. It's kind of like what Tom does when I was listening to him. We look at the whole picture. We look at what the client needs, what they want, what direction they want to go, where they are in their life, and we kind of put it all together for them in one place. So it's kind of a one-stop shop for planning, and just looking at their total need base.
Well, that sort of begs the question, allows me to come back and circle back. Talk to me about fee-based. What you wanted to go with a fee-based environment as opposed to some other. What other things are out there, and what does it mean to be fee-based? So how do you charge for your services?
We charge based off asset size. So whatever asset size you have, it's a tiered system. So you'll pay a certain percentage based on your asset size that you have under management. And a lot of products out there are commission based. So you're not really sitting on the same side of the table. If you're selling something to somebody and you're making a commission off of it, you may not be aligned with their best interest. So from our perspective, we really feel like working on a fee-based basis that we can really give good advice and look at the client's total needs and do what's best for them.
Yeah, and I think to add to that, Ann, we charge for planning services in addition to managing the money. So wealth management is multifaceted. If a client comes to us or someone who wants to become a client, maybe they don't have enough assets to meet a minimum part of our minimum fees or what our minimum fees are currently, then we can charge per hour or we may charge per module, as we call it. So depending on their needs, we can build a fee structure around that. But primarily it focuses on what Julie mentioned, and that is assets under management.
But it sounds like you could work with someone very early in their career. You know, maybe they're an up-and-comer. They're not making a lot of money yet, but they want to be wise and smart about their money. They can pay a fee and start to get the counsel and the guidance. And is that accurate?
Yeah, that's a good point, Stone. It is more about starting in the early stages of growing your wealth. It doesn't start at 60 years old. It starts very early, and I think getting the right education early helps promote good decisions.
And you're willing to work with people that early on, and you have a structure to do that, even though they may not have the portfolio to warrant the other.
Right. There's still baseline planning that has to be done. So what we call the core of planning, and to get those things in place, they need someone who can help them understand or discern what they need and what they don't need. The unfortunate part about our industry is it's not very well articulated by the regulators. It is called the financial planning industry or the wealth management industry, but there are some distinct differences in the commission side and the fee-based side, in that if I am promoting a product that pays me a commission, then I have a predisposition to sell that product and sell a lot of it, whether you need it or not.
Exactly. Imagine that.
Right.
Yeah. So if you don't need certain insurances or annuities or other products that come with a commission, then why buy it? But sometimes if you're not educated properly at the outset, you buy them unknowing, and you find out when it's cost you a lot of money.
So that's why this whole professional team that you've assembled is so important and so really differentiates you from a lot of other wealth management firms out there.
Right. And we're rewarded for outcomes. We want to retain a client throughout their whole, you know, their entire retirement and their children. And being fee-based, it lets us develop that relationship. And if we don't do a good job, they can leave. So we are rewarded for the job that we do for them.
Interesting.
There are no fees to get in. There's no fees to get out. Okay. Unlike a lot of the products that are on the market today, where some will keep you locked for as many as 25 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
25 years.
A lot of annuity products tie you in for a long period of time. There's a lot of benefit in the way that we do business, as far as from a planning standpoint and from the way we charge.
Yeah, you have to plan first. You can't put the product first. That's the bottom line. If someone is being sold something ahead of a planning process being completed, something's wrong.
So walk me through that, because it sounds like that's a real compelling argument for working with OmniStar, is that you have a process and something that's going to get me in and help me understand what I actually need to do and what you're actually going to do for me.
Exactly.
How does it work when you walk in the door as a new client?
Well, I can give you an example, a recent example of a client that I had at a bank, and I had been their advisor for several years. And when I came over to OmniStar, began talking with them again, and they had invested a substantial amount of money with us, but we never had their entire relationship. And so when I came over to OmniStar, I called them and we started talking, and I brought Phil in and telling them about our process, our planning process, the fact that we had an attorney on staff and a CPA, and that I knew that they had needs that we had never been able to address, and that I wasn't able to address them at the bank because I didn't have the resources. I would have had to pull in individual members. So this made it really easy for me to bring them in and show them what we could do for them. And it ended up, we we actually got their entire relationship recently, but they said, they told us that the reason that they were going to come over and do business with us was because we looked at their picture, we looked at what they needed, we brought in who we needed to bring in to close up some things for them estate planning wise or help them get their affairs together. And that was the reason. They've never been shown that before. And they really appreciated the approach. So that's kind of an example of, and it took about 6 months, Phil.
It was about 6 months from start to finish.
To get them where they needed to be. But they were very, they made a point to tell us that that was the reason that that we were going to get the entire relationship. So that was, that's kind of a good example of
what I think we the
did.
Way, Julie's exactly right. And I think the way they said it was, we never brought in the sign here on the front end.
What's it going to take to get you to sign today?
Exactly. Yeah,
it's really, it really starts with a yellow pad and a piece of a piece of paper and ink. And we can meet several times, as many as it takes, to really understand what that client is trying to accomplish, what their goals look like, and if they have goals. If they don't, all of that has to be put in place before investments or products, if you will, can be talked about. So, and unfortunately, that gets reversed.
Well, you know about that quite well, in terms of how to not be on the quick sign the bottom line, given your background prior to doing this, right? I mean, you come from a very interesting background.
Yeah, so the first part of my career, it was all about getting people to sign. So I was on the product side the first half of my career. So I know very, very well how that part of the business works. I know what the commission structures are, and I know how hard you're pushed by the companies that you're selling for. They want you to hit certain numbers, and your career is based on that. You either hit those numbers or they politely ask you to leave. So if you want to make your marks and you want to get the best contract payouts, then you're going to do everything you can to sell, and they have great rewards like trips and bonuses and everything else. So having been there and seen that side of the business, I can easily recognize it when it's opposing us, and I can help a client walk through that a lot better. And that's really how we've designed our firm. It's to teach all of our associates how to uncover the weakness, show clients what they really need, help them avoid products or high-pitched or high-pressure sales pitches, try to avoid the things that they don't need. It just creates a much better result, in our opinion, and it's all based on performance and, as Julie said, helping them reach their goals. If we don't do that, they can fire us.
Now, do you ever find yourselves almost being a little bit of a marriage counselor or a couples therapy facilitator? Yeah. I mean, I got to believe that, I mean, money really impacts these relationships,
it,
right? Yes,
it really does. I feel like I'm a psychologist half the time.
We get asked that all the time.
We get into some very deep conversations about family and individual situations, and that's just part of our job.
Yeah, and even with the husband and wife, there's ambivalence all the time. A husband and wife may be married, but it doesn't mean they agree on the
on anything.
So we deal with that routinely, and having the ability to help folks understand that there's a starting point and ending point, and how to best plan within those two. It's beneficial, but it definitely takes a psychological kind of background.
Well, and the other thing too is people have different relationships with money. It kind of depends on how you grew up, what your parents' relationship with money was, if you had money, what's your relationship, did they teach you about money,
right.
What your spouse's relationship is with money. I mean, there's a very the experience that you've had with it makes a huge difference on how you are going to manage your own money. So having an outsider kind of, if you throw it all on the table and kind of look at it, look at where each other's coming from, and also the relationship they have with their children, that comes into play a ton.
And I'm sure you have to actually get in there early and help them teach their children
exactly.
about money, because most, you know, that's not something they teach you in home ec, is how to teach your kids about money, right?
Yeah, and I have an article about that that I wrote on our website this month leading up to Christmas. But you really do need to teach children early on about money. And the only people they're going to learn it from is you. And then when they get out from under your wing, they're going to learn it from whomever. So you really want to give them good habit, teach them good habits, teach them, pay them an allowance, teach them how to save, teach them how to use a debit card, all that good stuff. And they'll develop those habits good money habits later on in life.
Well, I think it's important to recognize that women and men are different when it comes to handling money. Women investors tend to be a little more emotional, and so we've written a lot of white papers and even some workshop series to help women understand better how to deal with their money, especially if they're left in a situation of divorce or maybe they're a widow. And a male, on the other hand, is driven more by the bottom line. Do I have enough to buy what I want and what's left? And then what do I do with what's left? So it's very pragmatic from the male standpoint, and the female investor is much more emotionally driven. And to be able to deal with that, it's somewhat of a paradigm, really, when you look at the two. And to be able to take them from emotion and more of a fundamental perspective, you got to take all of that and somewhere meet in the middle, or somehow meet in the middle to help them understand the best ways to put their financial house together. And that obviously trickles down to the kids, as Julie said. And her article was great this month, talking about what you do with kids and how early you do it. And frankly, I tend to forget some of those things because I don't work with the younger ages as much anymore. But her article hit some really salient points with regard to what you have to do with kids. Otherwise, they can get on the wrong track pretty quickly.
We ought to make a point of when we post this segment on the Wilmington Business Radio website, we ought to link to this article that we're talking about. What's the title of the article?
It's called "It's All About the Benjamins," and it's really based off my experience with my own children and what I'm doing with them. So, but it's advice on parents to how to teach your kids about money. So, and we post an article once a month.
Yeah, generally
each of us writes.
Yeah.
So this whole thought leadership, that's a very big part of the way that you go about serving your community, is you create and distribute this thought leadership. I think that's fantastic.
Yes, that's a big part of what we do. And another reason that it kind of differentiates us from everyone else in town, I feel like. So.
Yeah, on both thought and leadership.
Well, you guys it sounds like you do an amazing job of doing the full cycle and the full circle of financial management, literally thinking from the time, kids are kids and how they need to start thinking about money, right up to planning for retirement and Social Security and how you, balance those kinds of things with all the changes in healthcare coming up. It sounds like you take a holistic approach to people's financial security. Is that correct?
It's holistic, and the part that we really didn't have time to talk about is much to Tom's points with regard to senior planning, and that's the final component. If you don't plan well early, you may not afford what you need later. But also how to organize that money or arrange it, the wealth that you have accumulated, what to do with it so it's protected. Number one, but number two, to be sure you can get the care that you need. Then how do you transition that wealth to your loved ones or your favorite charities or whoever it is in your life that you want to benefit from that from the wealth that you've accumulated? So there's so many facets to wealth management today. It's not just putting your money in a mutual fund. And that's another show, but
it sounds like we have a few other shows here.
Yeah,
we got a whole next year calendar. There's your segment right there. Have your elder law guy and have Phil
your
and
financial
Julie
planning
on.
Guy.
You go hand in hand.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's a lot of similarities in what I'm glad to hear from Tom, because there's a lot of similarities in what we do.
It's that counseling thing. Well, I think we need to wrap this up here, but I do want to thank our first show's guests for being our first show. That was a really big, important step for us. Thank you, Phil Clark and Julie Lancaster and Tom Petcher, and mostly Stone. Thanks for coming in from Hotlanta.
Oh, I have had a blast, and I want to make sure that I personally, but also that our listeners have contact information for these two before we wrap. But this, man, this beats the heck out of work, and this is great.
They say when you're having fun, you're already retired. So if you love what you do, it's not
working. You're not working.
That's pretty fun. So tell us how we're going to get a hold of you guys.
We're at www.omnistarfinancial.com is our website, and we're on 1712 Eastwood Road. And you can
just walk in, right?
Walk in, yeah.
Say, I need a plan, guys.
Yes. And we'll be happy to help you.
All right. Well, thanks for setting us up and kicking us off. And until next time, this is Ann Revelle-Petcher for Wilmington Business Radio.